that one day with the ransomed in glory, we will see his face and we'll be singing those words. How marvelous. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning, stepping in. We're glad that you could join with us. Thank you for joining us, those who are online as well. We're glad that you could be with us. If you are with us for the first time this morning, please feel free to take one of those cards in the seat in front of you and fill that out, letting us know that you are here. And also, for all of us, if you have a prayer request that you would like the church body to pray for, please fill out one of those cards as well. And you can either put it in Jeannie's door or hand it to one of the men at the door, or you can give it to myself and we'll be sure to get those prayer requests out. We love praying for our church family as well. And so what an opportunity to worship this morning. Would you just join with me as we open this time in prayer as well? Father, we come to you and we really come with a sense of expectation. As we sang in that last song, the day will come when we will be able to see you face to face. And with all of God's people throughout the ages, we will sing praises, we will worship, we will see you as you are. And what an incredible moment that will be. But until that day comes, we have the opportunity while we are here to get to know you a little more, get to know your word, to be challenged by it, and to live it out in the life in which we have been placed. And I pray that this morning as we open your word together, that you would show us great and mighty things of who you are. But would you also show us things about ourselves that maybe we can work on, maybe we can change. We give you praise in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life is full of opportunities, isn't it? No matter where you are, no matter what you do, there are opportunities in life. I once heard a story, or not a story, a pastor had done this one time, and he said that when they would go out for meals, one of the things that they would do is they would often ask the waitress if they could pray for them. A waitress would come by, they would take their order, they'd bring their food, and as they were about, she'd be handing them off, and is there anything else that I can do for you? You know, they asked that question, and the pastor would always say, well, you know what, in a moment, we are going to be praying for the food that has been brought to us, and as we do pray, we were just wondering if there was anything that we could pray for you as we pray. Now, as you can imagine, it took the waitress a little bit by surprise and didn't really know what to say and, you know, kind of gave a simple answer and walked away. The pastor prayed for the meal, prayed for the waitress, and a few moments later, the waitress returned to the table and she said, I'm on break. Would you mind if I sat down for a moment? Sure, sit down with us. And the pastor said that from that moment on, the young lady started to share the struggles of her life, the things, and she said, nobody's ever asked to pray for me before, and I didn't know what to say, and so she started to share. And in the course of a few moments, the pastor had the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with her in that moment. Opportunities are everywhere. But the interesting thing is, while opportunities are everywhere, sometimes opportunities are lost. And the reason why opportunities are lost is because we may focus on ourselves. Once had a conversation with a young lady who was a waitress on the flip side of this wonderful story that I just heard. This young lady was saying, you know, we waitress all different kinds of people. And we said, well, who are the hardest people for you to wait on? And she said, you're not going to believe it. And she said, it's usually the church crowd on Sunday afternoons. I went, why? Why the church crowd? She said, well, they come in and they want everything, expect everything to be perfect. So they send back more food, they complain more, they want more things for free, and then they're the worst tippers that ever come in. Now, thankfully, this young lady was a Christian at the time, so it wasn't a testimony that ruined anything, but this is a testimony. Opportunities that are out there, and sometimes when we're so focused on ourselves, we actually miss those opportunities that are there. This morning, we're going to be looking at the last few verses of Jonah And what's interesting about the story of Jonah is it's not the ending of a book that you would expect. You know, one of the things that we like in a story is we want a story to wrap up nicely, don't we? We want to know that in the end, everything is fine, everything is good, the hero wins, the person who was lost is saved, there's closure, and we walk away from the book going, that's a great book. But have you ever watched a movie or read a book where when you come to the end of it, it doesn't resolve the issue, and you're left with this cliffhanger, right? And you just kind of go, oh, that was the worst movie ever. Jonah ends like that. I feel that Jonah is one of those books that we don't have the resolution. He doesn't bring it to a closure, and it's this cliffhanger. We don't know what happens. Well, we kind of know what happens. If we continued reading in the Bible, we'd actually find out that later in time, about 100 years later, I believe it was, that Nineveh goes back to their old ways, and then God is once again issuing his declaration of wrath against the people of Nineveh. But at this moment, all we know, people of Nineveh, they have repented of their sin, and we think everything should have ended right there. They repented, God relented, life is good, but it doesn't end there. And when it doesn't end there, that causes me to ask the question, why did the book not end there? And I think the only answer we can come to is because there was something else that God wanted us to see. And that's a story of lost opportunities. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me in the book of Jonah to Jonah chapter 4. We're going to read the final verses starting at verse 4 as we close out the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 4, starting at verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what happened to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant, made it grow up over Jonah, and gave him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy at the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. Should I not have the concern for the great people of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" So here we see this moment in time that ends the book of Jonah. No resolution. As a matter of fact, we see here that Jonah misses the mark on so many issues, but he misses opportunity. He is so frustrated with what is going on that he can't even see what God is doing. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jonah understanding the heart of God. He knew the heart of God, but still couldn't come to terms with the heart of God. And that's really where Jonah's at. Jonah is so frustrated that God is not apparently going to destroy the people of Nineveh, that he's missing everything that God is doing. What is interesting to me here is actually it says that Jonah was sitting out east of Nineveh watching to see what would happen. Now, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Jonah said, "I knew you would relent." But here Jonah is still hoping that God would destroy Nineveh. He's out there, he's watching, he's expecting, he wants them to be destroyed so bad that he's taken up a spot that would be the best spot to observe the destruction. And the longer it takes for anything to happen, the angrier he gets, and the angrier he gets, the more depressed he gets, you know, all of a sudden he starts saying, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Jonah missed some great opportunities. When you look at this story, Jonah was so focused on himself that he missed some incredible possibilities. And this is where I think that this comes to us at the end is, what is it that God is telling us don't miss these opportunities, especially in a time like this. One of the things that's easy for us to miss, and we see that Jonah missed, was opportunities to praise. He missed an opportunity to, you know, it's interesting, as he goes out to watch for this destruction to take place, it says that God provided a plant to bring him relief and comfort. Now, if you remember, it says even before that, it says that Jonah built himself a shelter, but God provided a greater shelter, a plant that provided this relief for him. And what's interesting is if you read what it says there, it says that Jonah was very happy about the plant. But do you notice what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that Jonah praised God for the plant. It just says he was happy. In other words, it basically was this. Jonah sees a plant, he goes, oh, nice, there's a plant. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. And didn't even recognize that God may have been the one who provided. It was all about himself. So when the plant was there, he was like, yes, this is great stuff. When the plant went away, all of a sudden you can see that Jonah was like, oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. Now I've got to sit in this heat. I can tell you it's easy in life to miss the things that God is doing around us and to give him praise when we're focused on ourselves, especially during the time that we find ourselves in, right? You know, it's easy to complain that the fact that this virus is taking life, you know, it's easy for us to come to the place where we go, you know what, I don't like what's going on. I don't like that I have to wear a mask in public. I don't like that people are expecting me to do that. I don't like that there's this. I don't like that there's that. I don't like that we can't all be together. I don't like, I don't like, I don't like. And all of a sudden what we find is we are in this place where we're focused on what we don't like so much that we miss what God is doing in the process. We complain about politics. You know, the story of Job, to me, has always been a convicting story. You want to see a guy who had lots to complain about? I think Job had it. Here was a guy who lost everything. I mean, when I'm saying everything, everything. His finances were destroyed. He lost everything that he had. He lost family. His children died. He had three really bad friends that kept on telling him that, Job, you know what? God is doing this for a reason. I mean, how would you like to have a friend that came to you when you're struggling, you're hurting, maybe you're dealing with some very difficult things, and they go, you know what? You deserve this. God's just punishing you because you're a bad person. Wouldn't you just want to smack him around a little bit? Say, let's make it worth deserved punishment or something. I mean, there's got to be something there. All of a sudden you have that. Not only that, but his own wife comes to him and says, hey, you know what? Just curse God and die. Great encouragement. This is Job. He lost everything. And then you look at what Job says in Job chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job could have sat there and just went, woe is me, life is horrible, everything is gone, I've got nothing to live for. He could have pulled a Jonah and just said, you know, Lord, just take my life, I'd be better off dead. But in the midst of the deepest, darkest time of Job's life, there he is saying, may the name of the Lord be praised. Look at Paul and Silas. I talked about Paul and Silas before. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 are in prison. They've been brought in for presenting the gospel, bringing the message of Jesus Christ to people. There they are in this dark, dank, dingy dungeon, and they're chained to one another. They're chained to a wall. They can't move. It's probably a terrible situation that they're in. And here's what it says about them in verses 25 and 26. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praising God, and the other prisoners were listening to him. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and every chain came loose. You know, it's interesting because, again, like Job, in the midst of the dark time, Paul and Paul and Silas could have been sitting there going, you know what? This is just horrible. The fact that they put us in here is wrong. It's illegal. We have every right, like everybody else. And they could have been complaining to the guards. They could have been complaining to all of the different prisoners that were in there. And all the prisoners have been going, oh, I'm right there with you. I was wrong too. But it says in the midst of that, they were praying and singing hymns to God. Their focus was on God. You know, it's amazing what our focus can do. If our focus is on the things that we're experiencing that are negative, then all of a sudden we will miss the opportunities to praise. But if our focus is on God, then all of a sudden we will find that it is easier for us to praise God. Oh, to have the heart of Habakkuk. In Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19, he says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Let me ask this question. How easy would it be to praise God in what we just read? Oh, if you know what? If my car doesn't have gas, if my bank account is empty and there's no check coming, if my job is taken away and I have no source of income, yet will I praise my God. That's a hard thing to say, isn't it? And yet this is the heart in which we come. This is the way, this is what we find ourselves, that we won't miss out on the opportunities to praise if our heart is focused on God, not on self. Jonah's was focused all on himself. He missed the opportunity to praise. Not only did he miss the opportunity to praise, but Jonah missed the opportunity for joy. You know, I can ask the simple question, how many of you want to experience joy? We all would. You know, the answer is really simple. Stop feeling sorry for ourselves. You see, Jonah missed the opportunity to experience joy. There he is, he's sitting there, and this plant comes up, the plant dies, and he says, you know what, it is better for me to die. Just take my life. Just kill me. Jonah was in the bottom of depression here because God didn't destroy over 120,000 people. I have to admit that when I read this, some of my first thoughts were, what a baby. Is he serious? I mean, here it is. This is a prophet of God who knows the heart of God. And he was so bent on the people being destroyed that here he is asking God to take his life. How selfish can one get? And he missed the opportunity for joy. You know, in Philippians 4, verse 4, when we studied it, it just simply says the words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, it's a simple thought. It is just take joy in Jesus. No matter what the circumstances, joy is something we decide. That's something that our family has heard me say several times. Joy is a choice that I make. Joy is not based upon circumstances. That's happiness. If you get a new something, whatever it is that you get, you feel happiness because there's something new. You've been given something or you got something. Joy is not dependent upon anything like that. Joy is a choice. And when you think about it, you look at what Jonah did, and there he is. He's this guy that's going, you know what? It's all about me and woe is me. And therefore, he chose not to experience joy. In Psalm 16, verse 9 through 11, the psalmist shares these words as to why he can take joy. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with the eternal pleasures at your right hand. You see, the psalmist understood that joy, it's a result of being in the presence of God. It's a result of understanding that God is with us. It is knowing that wherever I go, God is a part of it. Now, understand, Jonah actually had conversations with God. He heard from God. God talked to him. When my focus is on God, I will experience joy. Sometimes it's just a focus adjustment that needs to take place. In Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7, we see a pretty important picture here. And this is something that I think that we can help with our focus, our adjustment, if it's necessary. This is the parable of the lost sheep. And it says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You see, here's the funny part of this. Jonah understood the heart of God. Jonah knew this principle up here. He knew, because remember what he said to God. He said, you know what? I knew that you were a God that was slow to anger, abounding in love, and that you would relent of this. He knew that in his head that God was that person. But yet in his heart, the one thing that he could not wrap around is how could a loving God allow these people to do what they did? And God's answer is very simple. I will celebrate over one and joy in one. Isn't that an incredible thought? Isn't it? I just love that picture because this one thing brings us to the place of understanding that when one person comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, one of the greatest parties happens in heaven. In that moment, heaven rejoices and a party breaks out. Don't you want to be a part of that? Doesn't that bring you excitement? You know, when you think about it, we may not be experiencing right here in this place a conversion every day or whatever. We may not be experiencing conversions that often, but understand that around the globe, there are people, thousands every day, that are coming to know Christ as their Savior. You know what that means? Heaven is always rejoicing. There's a party always going in heaven. And here we get this principle in our mind that basically we can look at it this way and say, if heaven rejoices, then so should I. If my focus is on Christ, then I should have joy at all times, no matter what the circumstances. Jonah let it take his joy. He missed the opportunity of praise. He missed the opportunity of joy. And actually, this last one is probably the saddest to me, the opportunity that he missed. And it's the opportunity for blessing. We love when God blesses us, right? I've often asked the question, who wants to be blessed by God? And everyone's like, oh yeah, absolutely, I want to be blessed by God. Jonah missed not only the opportunity to be blessed by God, but he also missed the opportunity to be a blessing. You know, in this story, everything could have changed. This whole story could have been a very different outcome for Jonah. But when the plant withers and dies, Jonah gets really upset. And I love it. God says, do you have a right to be angry over a plant? And Jonah's like, yeah, I do. I can't believe that this thing died. Jonah, you're so concerned about a silly plant. It's a plant, man. Plants grow, plants die. That's what they do. Why are you so into this plant? I even find myself a little frustrated with Jonah at this moment. Because I'm sitting here thinking, Jonah, the people of Nineveh needed to hear about God. You told them about destruction. And there you are, you're sitting up there and you're wanting front row seats to the destruction of the city of Nineveh. And you're complaining about a plan. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Do you realize the blessing that you could have been to the people of Nineveh? And in return, do you understand the blessing that the people of Nineveh could have been to you? Think about this for a second. Imagine if Jonah, after giving the message that God had given to him, we know that it says that they changed, they repented, they put on sackcloth and ashes. When Jonah saw that, imagine what would have happened if Jonah would have stayed in the city and started to tell them about the love of God. If you remember the thing that we had talked about, Jonah likely had experienced some horrible, horrible things at the hands of the Assyrians. So in the moment like this, when God says, I have a plan, what if part of that plan included Jonah in it? What if Jonah had stayed in that city, shared the gospel, and all of a sudden reconciliation would have happened? And the people could have come to Jonah and said, you know, we were wrong, we did these things, and all of a sudden they turned to Jonah and they may have been able to say, you know what, we want to make this right. They could have blessed him beyond anything that he could have imagined. But instead, Jonah was sitting out on a ridge looking down over the city, complaining about a plant. Understand this principle, which is a biblical principle. How we bless others will result in the blessings in which we receive. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What an amazing passage. And this we see in the story of Jonah. You know, the measure in which you give is the measure in which you will receive. Jonah had no blessing for the people of Nineveh. And as a result, he received no blessing himself. Not that the blessing wasn't there. Not that the blessing wasn't present, but he missed the opportunity for the blessing. Friends, this is a truth that I've seen played over and over again in my life. I have seen as God has brought reciprocating blessing upon blessing because blessing has been given. I've seen God remove blessing because the measure in which it was not afforded to others was the measure in which they received. You know, the past few months we keep coming back to. They've been hard. They've been difficult. Nobody likes what's going on. I haven't heard one person go, you know what, this is such a great time. I'm having so much fun with this. Sometimes we try to do little things to make it a little bit better, but really when you're walking around, you're hearing a lot of complaining, and there's something that we have seen in this, and I call it frustration. I've watched as good-willed people attack one another because of differing opinions. I have never seen differing opinions ruin relationships like they have in the last months. I have read as Christians on Facebook have called other people names that I don't think are godly at all, simply because we do not hold the same idealism. I have seen Christians boycotting churches because they don't agree with the stances that the churches are making on things that are not kingdom stances. I have listened to Christians who have accused others of not caring, not loving, being selfish because you're not doing what I expect you to do. I could go on and on of the things that we've experienced over the past months. And then sometimes I'll hear the statement, I don't know why God's not at work. Friends, God is at work. Are we missing the blessing? If I am being a person of blessing, then I will see and experience the blessings from God. Well, they don't deserve my blessing. 1 Peter 3:9 tells us, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. As we bless others, we will be given the blessing. And it may not be exactly what we look like or what we think it should look like. But we'll receive the blessings. As a matter of fact, again, another passage in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. This is such a great one, just a simple truth, a simple proverb. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Isn't that just a great thought? You know what? If I bless others, I'm going to experience blessing. If I am generous with others, I'm going to experience the generosity, maybe from God. If I refresh others, then God will refresh me. Who doesn't want that in a time like this? You know, I can tell you, I would love God to refresh his people. Are you being a blessing to others? Are you seeing the opportunity? Jonah was so focused on his own problems that he missed the opportunity to be a blessing. And miss the opportunity to be blessed as a result. The book of Jonah leaves us wanting more, doesn't it? We don't like that it ends this way. We don't like that Jonah ends angry. We don't like that we don't even see what happened. This isn't even played out anymore. It's just, do you have a right to be angry? Yeah, I do have a right to be angry. Well, no, you really don't. And that's how it ends. Sometimes I think stories are left unwritten because they're still not done. Our stories are still being written. Our opportunities are still there. How will the ending of your story be? Life is filled with all kinds of kingdom opportunities. Let's not miss them. Let's not miss the opportunities to praise God in the midst of difficult times. Because God is still almighty and he is still on the throne. Let us not miss the opportunities for joy. Because remember, joy is a choice. Let's not miss the opportunities to be a blessing. Let's take advantage of every opportunity that we have. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you that you are the God of opportunities. We've seen that you're the God of second chances, third chances. We've seen that you are a God that is slow to anger and abounding in love, compassionate. We know that you are a just God. You're a jealous God. But that you are a God that desires to use your people. And as we consider the closing of this book, and while we may think that it leaves undone, we know that you're still at work in us. Lord, maybe the simple challenge for this time is we need our focus back on you. Lord, if our focus is on anything else but Jesus in these days, would you help us to realign it to you? If I find that I complain more than I praise, realign my focus upon you. If I find that I have no joy and no hope, realign my focus on you. And if I am not seeing the blessings upon blessings, realign my focus on you today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.